Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 30th day of July, year 2023. I am your host, Pastor Dan. And the topic for today's broadcast is actions, not words. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the progress, or the broadcast, excuse me. Prinanda Kumriambith. And I know I don't say it right, but Yakida, which is basically to good health or cheers. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces, and pastordan.net. The Daily Mail page there at our website is where I put the latest information, so go there for updates and current event type stuff, whether it's health issues or education resources, homeschooling, you name it. That's where we'll put it. The homepage is also where you find information for the folks that wish to help us out financially. And for the folks that do, Yahweh bless your hearts. Remember the old adage, do not be afraid to fail, but you should be afraid not to try. That's the problem with our race today. We're afraid to try. That's a sin. Life does not give you what you want. It gives you what you work for. Another problem with our people today. They don't want to work for anything. They want it handed to them. Okay? The contact information, by the way, if you do not have my personal email and or phone number, please go to the website I just told you about, PastorDan.net, and there is a page there called Contact Us, and you can send me it, and I will get it. Richard Buckminster Fuller told us, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. In other words, build a life raft. The Titanic is sinking. The United States is going down, down, down. The Western civilization is going down, down, down. So we're on the Titanic, and we're all arguing about how to arrange the deck chairs while the ship is sinking. Kind of stupid, isn't it? We should be putting ourselves in lifeboats to make it away from the Titanic. Exactly what the book of Revelation tells us. Come out of her, my beloved. Right? My people, my beloved. Why? Why does he say to come out of Babylon? Because Babylon's going to get punished. It makes sense. Okay? If you separate yourself from Babylon, you don't listen to it, you don't revere it, you don't worship it, it's a false idol, a false god, then you don't suffer from her sins and her plagues. Okay, turn the television off. How many times have we had to tell you that? Turn that son of a bitch off. Tell lie vision, Talmud vision, the electronic toilet, whatever term you want for that contraption that is a spy and a propaganda tool by your enemy. You could also say that about the other flat screens that we find in our lives. I'm not saying don't use them. Every tool that we use for the good is a good thing. However, never forget that it is a device that can track and spy on you. There is no privacy anymore. I hope you realize that by now. We haven't had privacy in a long time. With the age of electronics and computers and the internet, your ability to be private has been pretty much wiped out. Remember Proverbs 25, verse 2, it is the glory of Yahweh God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter. All right? Many of the truths in this world are there for anybody that wants to find them. The problem is not too many people are even looking. We don't love the truth anymore. That's the problem. Henry David Thoreau said, there are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to the one who is striking at the root. In this day and age, who is the one striking at the root? The identity believers of the white race. And by the way, there are other races who recognize this truth as well. Just like the scripture says, that those who bless Abraham shall be blessed. Those who curse Abraham, meaning our people, those of the faith, they will be cursed as well. These are people outside of that circle, okay? So a lot of people say that the other races don't matter. Well, who's the other people then that are going to bless Abraham? Only our people? Or is it talking about the people in the world? In my experience, the truth of that verse is found when people who blessed me or people like me, I saw that they in turn were blessed. And those who cursed us ended up being cursed. We are Yahweh's administrators upon this earth. Those who side with us, those who work with us, receive a blessing for that. It doesn't make them a member of my racial family. It doesn't even mean that they are going to inherit the covenant and the promises. However, it does mean that they can receive a blessing, much like the woman in Matthew that he referred to as a dog. Okay? In biblical times, dog was the term given to those outside of the racial and religious faith of our people. They were called dogs. And yet dogs deserve what? Crumbs from their master's table. Crumbs of what? Blessings. This country used to put a welcoming handout to people coming here to visit. That's why we use the system called Visa. A visa was issued to give you up to 6 months here to travel, to learn, etc. But then the visa expired and you were expected to go back to your own land. Not stay here, not try to be part of my government, try to be part of the education system or to hold public office. No, that's a violation of common sense, a violation of the Constitution, and a violation of the Bible, of all scripture, whether it's in the Bible or not. There's some scripture that's not in our Bibles. And we also don't know how much of the scriptures that we call scriptures have been adulterated. But the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Don't ever forget that. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. So whether we're all by ourselves or not, or we don't even have Bibles, you do have your Holy Spirit. You do have that connection to the Father, or at least you better. And again, that takes us to the point of the pineal gland, which is your spiritual antenna. For those of you who know something about how television and radio works and communications radios, okay, the antenna is a very, very important part. It's where the signals are sent out and received. In your body, that would be the pineal gland. In the spiritual realm, that is where the signals are sent out and received. It is also the gland within your body that is most susceptible to corruption and contamination. Isn't it interesting that the enemy wants to contaminate your body with all kind of foreign substances? And guess what of your body gets attacked first and foremost? And the most damage is done, the pineal gland. And again, for the radio and electronic techs out there, what happens when your radar or your transmitter's antenna is either faulty or dirty? Okay, I went to radar school. I went to technician school for the Air Force. Okay, a dirty or misadjusted antenna is inefficient. Now your signal ratio goes out is much, much less, less strong and less pure. In other words, communication with the eye is interfered with. Now, qui bono, who benefits from you having poor communications with your creator, since they've adulterated much of the texts that we read? Who would benefit from you not being able to go directly to the source? Your enemy, of course. All the more reason to guard your health and to take care of your pineal gland. Do want to make a quick announcement on our website, PastorDan.net. We have a new page called Ella's Corner, and I would highly recommend that you check it from time to time, where we upload articles contributed to us by Ella, and she puts a lot of time in her research, good research, and a lot of references and footnotes in it, and her own personal opinions, but there's much learning to be had there. So again, new page called Ella's Corner, check it out, and it's updated probably, I would say probably at least twice a week it'll get updated with a new article. There's also an old adage that goes, talk is cheap, actions speak louder than words. I used to hear that when I was a boy all the time. Talk is cheap, actions speak louder than words. All right? That one's common sense to me. Okay, but we're going to back it up with the scriptures I picked up for today. So it's very obvious if it's in scripture and it's common sense and the Holy Spirit testifies to it, then it's probably true, right? So again, talk is cheap. Yeah, lots of people talk the talk. How many of them walk the walk? It reminds me, again, I'll blow my own horn here. Back when I was in my 40s and I was working out in the gym, at one point when I was in Georgia, I had this lady that was a member of the U.S. Army, and she won the weightlifting contest at Fort Gordon, and she worked as an instructor at the gym where I was working out. So I asked her one time if she would give me some tips on what I was doing and how I can improve, and she gave me some tips, especially on building up the biceps. And I remember one time there was a young man came in and he was talking to her about signing up and possibly doing it. And she looked over and she said, see the guy over there? If you listen to what I tell you and do what I tell you, you could look like that. So, of course, yes, it made me feel really good. But she said to the guy, he does what I tell him to do. Most of you guys that come in here, you don't do it. You don't put in the work, you don't put in the effort, but you want the body to look the way you want, but you don't want to do what it takes. It's exactly the same with Scripture. We read the words, we want that spiritual connection, we want to be known as righteous individuals, and yet we don't want to do the hard work. And I got to admit, some of the routines that she had me doing, they were not easy ones, but they did produce results. And the same thing with the word of our Father. It may not be easy, especially at first, because it's new to you. But if you put his words, his instructions into action in your life, you will reap the blessings that come from it. But most people don't have it. They don't want to do it. They just want the blessings, but they don't want to have to reach out. They don't want to have to put in the effort. What a shame. I did receive some both email and some things on Telegram today that speak a lot about the fact that our race, our family, war has been openly declared on our race. They're not even trying to hide it anymore. They want to eliminate us. And for the life of me, I don't understand what is wrong with our people, why they can't see the existential threat that's being posed by our arch enemy, from biblical times till today, the enemy of our people, the Genesis 3:15 other seed line, who seeks to eliminate us simply because they hate us. It's enmity. We don't need to go any further than that. We don't have to overthink it. There is enmity between their seed and our seed. And this diabolical seed is at war with all mankind. Now, what the other races need to understand is that they are being used by these Kabbalists, this evil seed line. They're being used to diminish us and to make war against us because they need these other races to weaken us so that they can conquer us. They don't have the strength to do it on their own. You got to remember, this evil seed line, they're not very smart. They're not good warriors. They're not good at much of anything except lying and deceiving, stealing and killing, exactly as the Arian Christ said. You know, I love it when people say, no, Jews are very smart. Really? If they're so damn smart, then why do they have to steal everything? Why don't they just invent it themselves? The answer to that is obvious. They can't. They're not that smart. They're devious. They're clever. They're conniving. But creative? No, they're not. Actually intelligent? No, they're not. They're just evil. They seek to do evil things, and they will steal, kill, and destroy, much as Christ said in Scripture. It's funny that even though they adulterated the Scripture, those words have carried through to this day, the fact that the Arian Christ said those things. But, of course, they want you to think that Christ was a Jew, which, of course, is a great big lie. And they'll say, oh, well, those things were said, but it's in a spiritual context. You see, they took over the seminaries a long time ago. So when they can't erase the words of our Messiah, they'll take and divert your attention away from it, just like they did with this whole COVID scam. They just took the common flu and called it COVID. That's it. That's all it took. But they pounded you day and night with propaganda in the news media and from the CDC and other government agencies, et cetera, and people that are scumbag criminals like Fauci and Birx, who should be arrested and put on trial for murder. They just pounded you with propaganda to where now people believe COVID is actually a disease. They actually believe there is such a thing as COVID. I mean, it's so freaking stupid. It's unbelievable to me. Influenza has been around forever. In fact, during the years of this so-called pandemic, deaths by COVID were less than deaths by influenza. If you look at the stats, the common flu killed more people than this so-called pandemic, and yet nobody got up in arms about worrying about the flu. People always get the flu, and there is no vaccine against the flu. In fact, vaccines don't work at all. And I don't want, no, don't contact me with your bullshit stories about, well, no, no, polio, blah, blah. No, you haven't done your homework. I'm just going to leave it at that. We're not going to waste time going into that whole thing. If you haven't figured that one out yet, at this point in time, you're dumber than a box of rocks and you need to do more homework. Okay? It's all a scam. It's all a lie made to poison you, made to control you, and to make money off you. If you haven't figured it out yet, you better. Now, again, works and not words only. James chapter 2, verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Okay, that was James chapter 2, verse 18. Also in James chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Now, who's the deceived people today? Our people are. They think by hearing, that's all they got to do. Go to these whitewashed sepulchers called churches today and sit there and listen to somebody pontificate about the word. If they actually do it, most of these churches don't even do that anymore. It's all just a great big social club. Entertainment and social club. But if you are in a building where they talk about what's in Scripture, they just talk about it. There's no action. Our people are good at the hearing part. They're not very good at the doing part. And our people suffer accordingly. Also in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 26. For as the body, apart from the spirit, is dead. Are you listening? The body, apart from the spirit, is dead. Can you say zombies? So also, faith, apart from works, is dead. Now, the church world is pontificating with this, it's all about your faith and the spiritual stuff. Works don't matter. Really? And yet, we've already talked about two verses here that make it very clear that, yeah, your works do matter. And we got more coming. Of course your works matter, because it's pretty obvious. If you truly have faith, it's impossible not to have works. So you got a question, how many people have true faith? If you truly believe in Yahweh the Father, if you truly believe he came here as Yahshua and our Messiah, if you truly believe all that, how could it not affect your life? How can it not affect what you say and what you do? How could you not have works? So what it says in James is quite true. Faith, apart from works, is dead. Meaningless. It's just a belief system. You haven't put it into action. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Again, things sorely missing from the white race today all over this earth. We got lots of words, a lot of talk, not too much deeds. And certainly not much truth. We've sold ourselves out. Look at us in the last 3.5 years over a completely fake and phony pandemic. I mean, fake and phony one. Completely orchestrated, completely run by government and medical people, pharmacies, and the folks with the little hats. Complete lie, obvious to anybody that has any truth in them, and yet people went along with it because old names, or they were giving us money. We sold out really fairly cheaply to the Antichrist. Not much backbone left in our people these days. It's a real shame. Also in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Now, what is sin? Sin is transgression of Yahweh's law. Law that if you know the right thing to do, you are to do it. Even if it means getting hurt. That can be found in Psalms, Proverbs, and other books of the Bible. So, if you know the right thing to do and fail to do it, it is sin to you. Look at our race today. Many people know that it was a lie. Many people know who's behind all of the shenanigans that are going on today. They know damn well who it is. But out of fear, out of wanting to hang on to their materialism, their jobs, or their pensions, they, quote, go along to get along. Let me know how that works out for you on Judgment Day, folks. Of course, I already know the answer to that, but it won't be too pleasant when you stand in front of that great white throne. And our Heavenly Father sits upon it, and He looks right through you. Because you can't lie to Him. He sees your thoughts before you put them into words. So you think you're going to get away with lying or deceiving Him? No. So it should be quite interesting when our people stand in front of that judgment seat and give an accounting for their life. And they explain away why they were cowards, deceivers, murderers, unrepentant about all of the evils that we have done. Unbelievable. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation or apocalypse of Yahshua Messiah. Yahshua, Yahweh saves. Messiah is the anointed one. Okay? The anointed one. Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for Yahweh and not for men, knowing that from Yahweh you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving your master, Yahshua, the Christ, Messiah. Okay, work heartily. Work, work, work. Don't talk, talk, talk. Don't click on the computer keyboards, write, 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 which is a form of talk, talk, talk. We got a lot of that going on, okay? Now, part of it is the awakening. That's true. It takes talking and it takes the clicking on the keyboard to send out messages to awaken our people, and it's important work. But it's not the only work. Okay. Yahweh said, my word will not go out and come back to me void. It goes out and it changes things. It changes the world around us. It changes people, their habits, the way they talk, the way they dress. If it does not create that change, you have not truly accepted Him in your life. Again, it's a relationship between the Father in heaven and us. It's a real-time relationship. It gets me how many of our people want to argue over Scripture. And people say, oh, well, Dan, that's a tenet of our faith. Really? It is? How many Scriptures did the white race, the Israelites of old, as they traveled for 1,500 years or so after Christ, they didn't have any Bibles. Bibles did not exist. Certainly not for the common folks. All right? So if everything is based on Scripture, then what the hell did they do for 1,500 years? Does somebody want to kindly tell me about that? You don't think they had a real-time experience with their Father? You don't think they had prophets that walked amongst them? You don't think they had leaders? You don't think they had an experience with their own personal relationship with Father? Communications with above? Remember, who created the thing you call a Bible? The Catholic Church, which is a political organization. They needed a mechanism to control the people. Now, that does not mean, of course, that the sacred texts written down by our ancestors, that does not mean it does not have value. What I'm trying to tell you is we got people arguing to the point of separating from each other over things in Scripture, interpretation of Scripture. Do you know how silly that sounds to me? Just being honest here now. People are willing to split the sheets, so to speak, break fellowship with one another over interpretations of documents that were given to us by a corrupt organization called the Catholic Church that only means to control people and manipulate people for political and financial gain. That is the facts. It just cracks me up why people do that. When you can answer any question you've got about Yahweh, us, the future, the past, you go to him in prayer. You can have a conversation with the source, and yet you want to go back to documents that may or may not have existed, may or may not have been interpreted properly. You're going to want to go back to that and argue with each other and break fellowship when you could have a conversation with the Father and get an answer straight. But we don't do it, do we? We'd rather carry the book around and claim to know what it says and then bash each other over the head with it like a hammer. What did Yeshua say about the law? Were we to administer the law with mercy or use it as a battering ram to beat each other up? I already know the answer to that, but I'm going to ask you. Which is it? What do we do with the law, the written text? Use it with mercy or use it to bash each other up? Again, I already know the answer to it, but I'm asking you. Titus chapter 1, verse 16. They profess to know Yahweh God, but they deny him by works, or you could say by their lack of works. But the works they do are what? They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. Again, Titus chapter 1. So they profess to know the Creator Father, but they deny him by their works. They deny them by their day-to-day activities. They deny him by their, quote, fruits. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Doesn't say ye shall know them by their words. Everybody's got sweet-sounding words. In fact, in my lifetime, I'll admit it, the people that have done the most damage to me emotionally and financially were people that told me soft and sweet words like, I love you, I care about you, I would never, I want the best for you, you can trust me. Yeah, every single one of them said those very sweet, kind words, and yet their actions did just the opposite. You shall know them by their fruits, their actions. Words are cheap. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do, word or deed, do everything in the name of Yahshua HaMashiach, giving thanks to Yahweh Father God through him. Well, him being Father God Yahweh in a flesh body. So it's one entity. We only have one God. Or if you don't believe that, then throw your Ten Commandments out along with the Bible and any other scripture you might have, because you obviously are pantheistic. You believe there's more than one God, because there's Yahweh God and Jesus God. Two separate gods, when no, there's not. He put on flesh and came here to obey his own law and to teach He says, I come to teach. I come to be a what? Demonstration of the way you're supposed to be. And Yahshua did that. And we have men today that do that. Not perfectly, not like Yahshua, but we have men today who walk the walk as best they can. And you can tell it. You can tell somebody that walks the walk versus the talkers. Remember, we talked about the refining of silver, as is mentioned in Scripture several times. And there was a beautiful demonstration one time where a gentleman explained, because he was a silversmith, he explained what that passage in Scripture was actually trying to say. And it's a beautiful story. I know you've heard it, but it's worth repeating. Very quickly, he refers to us, Yahweh refers to us as his silver. But as silver, it's dirty. Over time, silver can tarnish and become corrupted with dross. It's called dross. That's contaminants or dirt in the silver. And so, therefore, it does not shine. So the purification process requires heat, a flame, which is a biblical analogy of what? Punishment, condemnation. Because of sin, dirt, dross, contamination in you. And so heat is applied. And the silversmith says that you have to be very careful, though, just like Yahweh has to be very careful, because if you put too much heat on the silver, you'll burn it and destroy it. However, if you don't put enough heat on it, it will not burn off the dross. So the flame has to be set just right. And then some lady that was there in the congregation said, well, how do you know when the silver is purified? When the Israelite is pure? And the silversmith said, oh, that's easy. When I can see my reflection in the silver's clean. Which also says that I don't need to apply the heat or the punishment or the fire of judgment any longer, because I see a reflection of me in my people. You can take this analogy on an individual basis or as a group, meaning the Israelites, the white race. The remnant, I should say, of the white race, because a lot of the white race is toast. They've been vaccinated, dumbed down, dumber than rocks, cowards, misfits, you name it. A lot of them aren't even worth trying to save. But the remnant, he wants to reflect him, his not the church world's values, his values. Not the, what the preachers are telling you, because most of them are liars. He wants to see his values reflected in you and me. You want this heat to go away? Who do you think's generating this heat, by the way? Do you think Jews really are that powerful? Come on, they're misfits. They can't even run that little country over there. If it wasn't for the United States, the Arabs would have destroyed them a long time ago. All right? So are they really that good? No, I told you. They're not even good. They're not good warriors. They're not good bankers. They're not good anything. Except deceivers, thieves, and they stick together. Unless, of course, you get in someone's way, and then they'll throw one of their own under the bus as well. However, as a people, they will stick together because they want to rise to the top and be lords over the rest of mankind. They share that throughout their ranks. Whereas our people do just the opposite. We find reasons to stick knives in each other's backs. We find reasons to gossip about each other. We find reasons to diminish our relationship with each other. We don't even give a shit about the future of our race. Look how many white people today don't even want to have children. Look how many women today want to possess a single man, and yet they don't even care about the teachings of Scripture about a man having more than one wife. Because I'm going to tell you, the number of righteous men that are worthy of having children are very small. Okay? Not every man should be a father. Not every man should be procreating. No, no, no. Yahweh wants the best of our men. That's the whole reason why he endorsed the multiple wives scenario. And people can't even see it because they don't care about the future of our people anymore. They care about the here and now. They've become narcissists. It's all about me, saith some of the women. I want him for me. He's my man. I own him. I found him. Have you heard those words before? I know I have. How often have you heard our ladies say, he's a good man, and he should have 3, 4, 5 wives? Because his genes need to be procreated and carried on because he's got it right. He does it right. He's a good guy. How many times do you hear that amongst our people? I've traveled for almost 50 years now in the identity circle. It's close to that, probably about 45. 45 years, let's say, going to gatherings in person and then on the internet when it came along. In different chats and blogs and conference calls, et cetera, et cetera. How many times did I hear the women or even the men talk about that aspect? Very close to zero. Because, again, we're all narcissists today. The world revolves around us. It's my experience that matters, not our people. It's my experience, my joy, not the outcome for the children and grandchildren of our people. It's been sad in my travels to know these truths and to know them as strongly as I do, and yet so few of our people can recognize it. There are times I wonder why he still keeps me here, because nobody's listening. Our people don't care. His truths are simple. They're easy to understand. They're verifiable. All you got to do is look through you. Well, even in Scripture, but better than that, go to him in prayer and ask earnestly. Show me the truth. Reveal it to me. But our people don't care about that. They want it their way, like spoiled children. Oh, I want it cooked my way. I want it to taste this way. I don't want what you prepared for me. I want this. We're just like little children. With our father, we treat him like he's a genie in a bottle. Well, I don't like it this way. I don't want what your will has for me, Father Yahweh. I want it my way. I want to live here. I want lots of money. I want people to respect me. I want my way, Father. I don't want your way. There's many days I've wondered why he keeps us around. I really do. Why does he tolerate us at all? So few get it. Some people get pieces of it, but so few get the whole package. And it's not because it's hard to figure out. It's just simply because of our own greed our own self-centeredness. James, again, chapter 1. See, we're going to start at 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doings. Did you catch that? But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, that's what happens when you're a hearer, you forget, but a doer who acts, who puts Yahweh's law into action, first in his own life, and then in the world around him. Judgment starts in our own house, folks. Starts out with you, Dad, as the head of the household. Don't expect your wife and children to be obedient if you aren't. You are the spiritual head of the household as well as the civil and natural of the household as far as being protector and provider. You are the instructor. You are the spiritual leader. At least you'd better be within your household. It's your job. Are you doing it? Some are. Some aren't. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Normally I would open it up for any comments, but we have a storm front coming through, and what I'm going to do is go ahead and close this in prayer for today. I know everybody's got a lot of things to do, so we'll try to keep this one short and sweet. Again, because of the extreme times we live in, everything we do to awaken our people should be done as succinctly as possible. Attention spans are short, nerves are up, frustration's up, and the enemy is doing everything they can to promote chaos. So again, keep your messages, your testimony, your witnessing to your friends and all. Keep it in sound bites and little bits of baby food as much as you can. Because our folks, again, are overworked, tired, frustrated. And we need to be cognizant of that and put that information to use as best we can. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We ask that you would forgive us our sins. We know we have not done right by you. We ask that you'd cleanse us and wash us anew with your Holy Spirit. Make us into images of you. Cleanse us as you see fit. Turn up the fire as necessary to make us into those men and women that reflect you and your values, not the sick, demented world that we live in. The poor earth has been abused, Father, as your people have been abused. It's time for retribution. It's time for a great cleansing. We pray for that Ezekiel 37 army to arise out of this valley of dead and dry bones out here, these spiritually dead zombies that flood our lands. Those warriors that carry your spirit, those warriors who are on fire for truth and justice. But you are the commander-in-chief, Father Yahweh. We are your subordinates, and we just ask that it be your will that this nonsense comes to an end shortly. That it be your will that those who get it, and that you would raise them up, protect them, as Psalm 91 says. And burn the rest of these people away. We no longer are going to moan for them and mourn them and regret their passing. They need to go away. We've reached that point of maturity, Father, where we know, even within our close friends and family ranks, there are those of our people who are not fit to go on. Let your judgment come upon this earth, Father Yahweh. Burn this dross away so that this poor earth can breathe and return to the pristine nature that it was meant to be, and that men and women can walk upon the land you intended, and not this Babylonian garbage, this prison that has been created by the Babylonians. Until that day, Father, walk with us and guide us in all that we say and do, to thy glory and for thy kingdom. We ask always that you would protect us from our enemies, and we ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.